Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Melinda Chang, and I am a mother of three boys, Jeremy, Gabriel, and Anthony, and they're soon to be 14, 12, and 10, respectively. And today I'll be sharing about how I've been able to experience God as a mother and how our family has been able to experience God these past few years. Some of you might remember that maybe about 20 years ago that our church went through a series called Experiencing God. And actually it was a church-wide thing. Like I think Chinese-speaking, English-speaking, everybody did it. And I remember that one of the basic tenets of that study was that if you want to experience God, you need to watch where he is working. You need to pray and see where he's working and join in with him. And that's always stuck with me. And I think that's something that in these past few years, we've really learned to try to do with our children. A few years ago, we found ourselves in an interesting situation where we had an opportunity to move out of state. Now, I homeschool my three children. We've been doing it from the very beginning. And when we first started homeschooling, I told my husband, I'm going to need a lot of help because I'm not super mom and I can't do everything. And if we homeschool, this has to be a partnership. We're going to have to share in the household duties. Where he came with a job a few years ago, he was laid off and got a job. But it became a very demanding job. He's a software engineer. And in the past few years, his job has been very flexible. Like we've been able to, you know, have him come home fairly 9 to 5 and come home for dinner. And just his job in general was very flexible. But with this job, just became a lot of pressure, took up a lot of time, weird hours, because he was working with offices in Indiana and China. So we found ourselves in a place where I felt just really worn out. He was worn out. And one day he came home and said, you know, I'm having a hard time, you know, getting the office in Indiana, which uses the program that he programs or writes, to use our program. And something about what he said as he was talking about it just made me think, we homeschool. We don't have to stay here. I wonder if we can move to Indiana and help him with his job. Help him, you know, what if that was an option? And so what was a fluke idea actually became something that just kept pressing on my heart, as if God had something deeper than just Alvin's job. Now, to my family and friends and some of you who knew that we were going to Indiana or thinking about it, we just said that it was a part of Alvin's job. And it was. I mean, it did start that way. But really, over time, God was starting to impress something on our hearts that was a little bit deeper. We were starting to think maybe God had something more for us. So in the vein of experiencing God, we decided to pray with our children. So on a regular basis, we told our children, we're going to pray for this. We're going to see what God has in store for us. And so we said three little miracles need to happen. First of all, his company has to agree to it. It was actually our idea, sending ourselves over to help him with his job. It wasn't even his job sending us. We were doing it. Number two, we had to rent out our house that we had here in California. And it would only be for a year. It's a family-sized house. So whoever we found would have to only rent our house for only a year. And for those of you that rent, you know that you don't want to just stay at one place for a year, right? You want to find somewhere you could stay long-term to raise your children. So that was the second thing. The third thing was that we needed to find a home out in Indiana, sight unseen. So we prayed about with our children, and sure enough, God answered all those prayers. And going back to experiencing God, if God is working somewhere, you kind of have to obey and go. And plus, by then, we found renters for our home, so we had to move anyway. But regardless, God was obviously doing something. So we had the idea in March of 2016, and by the summertime, we were living in Indiana. One of our first priorities in living there was we knew we would have to find a church home. And, you know, when we look at the New Testament, Paul wrote a lot of the books of the New Testament. And he writes a lot of letters to the different churches that he helped establish. And I kind of feel like I could do a little minuscule part of that now that I've had this as a home church. And now that we've had a home church out in Indiana, I feel like I could write something about both churches. And what I would say to this church is thank you so much for the spiritual heritage. When we got to our church in Indiana, we found a church called Bridgeway Community Church. And we found that church because they did a family fair, just like we do here at this church. And so when they had the family fair, we attended, we got to know some of the people there. And the very next day, somebody invited us to come and have a play date with their boys. So we got connected with that church. And as soon as we got connected, we found ourselves serving there. We did Sunday school lessons. We even spearheaded a childcare for their marriage conference. They even asked me to do scripture reading. Without ever knowing that I ever did scripture reading here at FCBC, God just placed me in an environment where they asked me to do scripture reading. So if I were to thank this church, I would thank you so much for the spiritual heritage that you gave Alvin and I, because we grew up at this church. And we were able to bless a church in Fishers, Indiana. You know, I mean, that's just a miracle that, you know, God works in all these different ways. And if I were to thank the church in Bridgeway, in Fishers, I would say thank you for welcoming us and giving us a home, welcoming us as a body of Christ. You know, we were strangers. And remember, here's this lady that barely met me, and she emailed me and said, hey, will you come and join my family and go to a museum? And so I would thank that church for extending their hospitality. But I would also thank them for letting us worship with them. You see, the church out in Indiana did not have a youth service the way that we do here. And so we had to worship with our two older boys. And since we were worshiping with them, we thought, might as well have our youngest son worship with us as well. So we had the privilege of worshiping with them every single week. And I'm not going to lie, it was a little difficult at first. We sat in the back probably 90% of the time to try to help train our kids to sit through an adult service. But all of that is such a distant memory compared to the blessings of having our children sit with us and worship with us and watching them grow. You know, you might think that they wouldn't understand what is going on in a sermon, but they would be sitting there and they would ask us questions. And another thing is they would take communion every week at this church, and they would ask us questions about taking the Lord's Supper, about prayer. And it was such a beautiful thing to hear our children worshiping alongside of us. And going back to the sermon, you might not think that they listen, but they do. And one significant Sunday, Bridgeway Church had what was called Sanctity of Life Sunday. And that's when churches all across America observe the sanctity of life. And it was actually instituted by Ronald Reagan back in the 80s when he was president. And it happens during the time right around when the dates where the Supreme Court decided that to make abortion legal in all 50 states. So Ronald Reagan put in this thing where he said, okay, churches all across America, there's sanctity of life, and you observe the sanctity of life. And on that particular Sunday, a very significant sermon came about that changed our family's life. And that sermon was by Ty Benbow, who gave a sermon called Abortion, America, and the World. And what was interesting about that sermon, and my boys were sitting in that service, except for my youngest one, because we didn't feel he was old enough, but my boys were sitting in that service, and he talked not just about the unborn baby or the sanctity of life, but he also talked about, as Christians, We need to rise up and we need to support all life. It doesn't matter. It's not just about the unborn child. It's about helping that mother who maybe decided not to have an abortion and needs help. It's about helping the mother who did have the abortion and now needs us to care and love them. It's about supporting family. It's about all those things. And there was one particular slide that caught our attention. And that slide said, and if I could have that one, I think I have it, yeah. It said that if every church in America adopted one foster kid, you would take care of the foster care system in America. Alvin and I went home that day, and as we usually do, we kind of talk about what we learned about at church and just what impressed upon our hearts. And both of us, without even, you know, with God speaking to us separately, said, you know, you guys need to do safe families. So God spoke that to me, and God spoke that to him. And Safe Families is an organization in which they help families that are in need by hosting children in their home. It's not a foster care system, but it's a system where families in need, in all kinds of situations where they might be close to having their child taken, for instance, joblessness, incarceration, addiction, homelessness, whatever you can think of, there are people who have needs, families that have needs. They can't find childcare and they have their children and they don't want to lose their children. They want to keep them, but they need a family to take care of them. And this is a Christian organization. And by doing it, we get to share the love of Christ with these families. So in the theme of experiencing God, we went to our children and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray to see if we should host children in our home. So we went through that process of praying with them. We were in Indiana at the time, and we had 6 more months in Indiana, and we didn't know whether or not we would even have a child. But we shared this with our small group. They rallied around us. They supported us. They prayed for us. We began praying. We sent in our application, and within a month, we had our first child. And since then, we've had many children. I think I have a few pictures of some of the children we've had in our home. You know, when I talk about being a mother, it's amazing what God can do, right? We think about being a mother and we think it's just about mothering our own children. But when we follow God, He can take our roles, whatever they might be, mother, father, worker, whoever you are, they can take that role, He can take that role and turn it into whatever gives Him the most glory and honor. So I've had the privilege of being a mother to not just my own children, but other children in need. And it's just been a blessing and probably one of the most amazing experiences in experiencing God. It's not just experiencing God here in the worship room or the worship place. It's experiencing God in all areas of our life. You know, when we look at these different things, I think when I talk about homeschooling and going to Indiana and doing Safe Families, a lot of people are like, how can you, you know, aren't you worried that your children, like with homeschooling, aren't you worried that your children won't get a good enough education? Or even with Indiana, why would you go through all that work to pack up for only a year and move out there? You know, why would you invite strangers into your home and have them stay with you? Aren't you afraid of what kind of influence they may be on your children and all these different things? But I found that, you know, as I mentioned, we prayed about these things and God guided us. It wasn't like we just woke up and decided to not, and it's not that we didn't practice wisdom and think about this process, but He clearly guided us. And I think over time in learning about this experience, I've learned to pray instead of just dwelling on those questions. And trust me, I live with the tension of those questions every day. Like, I worry, yes, about my children's education. I do have to, you know, when I'm a mother to foster children, it's not easy. It's as hard as you think it might be, right? Or they're not foster children, hosting children. It's as difficult as you think it might be. I remember one time I was, we were hosting an autistic child, and I decided to take her to Target. And it was just me and her, and she had this thing for Pringles. We had Pringles in our home, and because she couldn't speak, she was 4 years old and did not speak, she would just point. And one of the first things she pointed at was Pringles in our home. And so when I went to Target, I shopped with her. She was fine the entire time. I hid the Pringles so that she couldn't see the Pringles. But of course, I had to check out. So out came the Pringles onto the grocery line, right? And she just started screaming and pointing. And because we're a mother to, we're parents, it's not like we just give them whatever we want. We treat them as if they were our own children, and we had been training her to learn to communicate. Even though we had her only for a short period of time, I knew I couldn't be that parent that said, okay, just, you know, let me just give you these Pringles so that you would be quiet. Because if I did that, that would be difficult for the rest of my family, for the rest of the days that we had. We couldn't break whatever we were training her to do. So I was that mother in Target, this little Chinese lady with this African-American girl screaming. But I just remember feeling the peace of God. And I remember she's screaming, I'm walking with a cart, you know, just slowly walking out of Target, you know, feeling all eyes on me, but knew that this is what God called us to do. And so when I think about, you know, those questions, I don't think about them so much anymore as much as I think, or I pray. I pray that my children now know that when they remember themselves worshiping with their parents, that their parents really adore the Savior that they worship. That when they go to church on Sunday, it's not just a Sunday thing. That if they hear a sermon inside service and they feel convicted to do something, that they do it. That they pray and they obey. I pray that my children see that. I pray that my children see more than anything that loving people because God loves us, that we need to love others. No matter who they are, no matter their race, their situation, whatever circumstances they're in, that they're welcome in our home if God leads them in our home. I pray that they learn more of those things than they do about my insecurities and the questions I have. And so those are some of the ways that we have been able to experience God in the last few years. And that's my prayer for all of you. I know it's Mother's Day, and that's why I'm up here, and that's my role. But I pray that whatever role you are in, I don't care if it's a student, a worker, a business owner, a doctor, a pastor, a student, whatever you are, a father, a grandfather, that you experience God, you seek after him, and you experience him in extraordinary ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda, for that. So we're going to come to the time of our message now. I know it's been a long morning, but if you have lunch plans, please cancel them. 45 minutes that I prepared all week for this. So here we go. I'm just kidding. Be done soon. That was such a great blessing, Melinda. Thank you, and thank you, God, you know, just for showing your family and sharing with us just of his faithfulness, his goodness. I want to just say a few closing words, and I'm going to end with where we started this morning with our call to worship. I'm going to go back to that, and I have it on the screen for us this morning. Lamentations 3, again, a very familiar passage for us, but I think it rings true in just listening to the Chang family's story over the past couple years. Lamentations says this, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him." And I think I was just thinking back on finding out, I was joking with Alvin, Melinda's husband, about them leaving for a year. And I'm like, what are you guys even going to do there? And, you know, what does it even look like? And Alvin, you know, in his wisdom was like, you know, we'll be back and you won't even notice that we were gone. And they, lo and behold, they left, they came back, and it was as if they never went anywhere. But to hear Melinda share and their stories of just all that they had learned and grown in, I just realized, you know, how quickly things are. And we think that in times where life stage changes, you know, where you're thinking about a future career, maybe perhaps you're looking at your children and just thinking about all the time that it takes, it might take to be responsible for them, to raise them, to help them grow. It's just seeking what it might look like to work full time. And we're all in different stages and we think, oh, it's gonna be such a long time before this happens or this or the next stage or what. But I want to pause and help us to realize that as we seek the Lord, and the verse Lamentation ends, this passage ends with, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. And in studying this passage and in some sharing that I wanted to, I just realized at this last verse, when we do this, when we take the time to seek, and I love that theme that their family had, that they prayed and they sought the Lord together, that then they can realize all these things. The writer of this has these big, bold statements. And if you read the book of Lamentations, it comes from a place of just worry and pain and sorrow because the country of Israel has just been taken over, has just been captive. Right? Lamentations is a book of lament. It's great sadness. And yet the author can write these big, bold statements. The Lord is good to those who wait upon him. Therefore, the Lord is loving, is compassionate, is faithful. And again, we might think that the times that we have, the life stages that we have, they're so long. The years sounds like so much. But I think in just the conversation with Alvin, again, it goes by so fast. And in realizing what Melinda was sharing, it's so true about this verse. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning, every day. The Lord shows his faithfulness in a new and different way to us. And again, I don't know where you guys are at. Maybe you're single sitting here. Maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. In all walks of life, in all stages, can we say and go from here this morning that God, yes, your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Tomorrow is a new way to experience God's faithfulness. And the next day, and the next day. And if you're entering into a new job, maybe a new marriage, maybe you're going to soon to be a parent, it's a great opportunities. But I hope that we can say every day, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to look for his faithfulness. They are new every morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the chance to hear such a great story of what you're doing in the lives of the Changs. And God, I pray that those stories, as well as this verse, your promises, Lord, may they never waver. May we never waver in them, holding on to them fast and true, Lord, because your promises go with us. And even in the midst of turmoil, of struggle, of difficulty, God, may we remember that your love never ceases, that you show your compassion and care to us as your people every day. And God, as we look ahead to the future, we might feel like we're overwhelmed, we're anxious, maybe even this week, Lord, with different things going on, perhaps finals, tests, doctor's appointment, whatever we may have, Lord, may we hold fast again to you, that you aren't enough for us. You are our portion, Lord. And may we cling to you because you are good, because you are faithful, because you are love. Thank you for the reminder this morning, Lord. I pray that we would continue to live in that way this week and the weeks to come. May we continue to worship you because you are such a great and mighty God. We praise you and honor you this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand this morning as we receive this morning's benediction? Should bow your heads. May the God who is faithful and true and love go with us because of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit, remind us this week that you are enough, God. You are our portion. And may we, as your people, never cease going after you, seeking you, and finding you in all our ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.